As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Amen. Having a true living faith in Jesus includes observing and believing the totality of his word. From Genesis to Revelation, we possess the holiest of treasures, and that is the living, active word of God, and we are commanded to believe in this word and to trust in this word. And so it is incompatible with Christian faith and doctrine to profess Jesus on the one hand while denying what he said on the other. If there's anything Holy Scripture makes clear, it is this: one cannot have it both ways. One cannot claim fidelity in God while rejecting his commands as if he doesn't care about them, or conveniently looks the other way when a person embraces sin and lives only to please his or her self. There are numerous commands in Holy Scripture, and we could talk about any number of them, that mankind wants to overthrow because they are a boundary to the sinful flesh, and sinful flesh doesn't like boundaries. But let's talk about one command in particular. Highlighted today in John's Gospel is the simple command to love one another. Love one another. It's simple from the standpoint, it's grammatically clear, right? Love your neighbor. There's no mystery in what God is saying here. We understand it, and we would even claim to believe it. We say amen to this word, knowing it's from God himself. We are commanded by the highest majesty over heaven and earth to love one another. This means be kind, be compassionate, be patient, forgive one another. Put the best construction on things. Sacrifice for your neighbor. Explain everything in the kindest way. Bless those who curse you. Pray for your enemies. Be salt. Be light. Holy Scripture is replete with descriptions of the love God demands his people to have. But here in John 15, the gospel lesson, our Lord Jesus gives us no description beyond his words here. Love one another as I have loved you. We are delusional if we fail to see just what these simple words require. Loving the neighbor as Christ loves you means expressing a perfect love even to that neighbor who really gets under your skin. As Christ loves you enough to lay down his life, our love too should be no different. Unconditional and, yes, even sacrificial. One cannot claim to love God yet hate their neighbor. True faith in God includes faith in his teaching. Love thy neighbor as Christ loves you. We would like nothing more if there was a footnote, a caveat to that command, permitting anger in those cases where a neighbor really just ticks you off. Love your neighbor only when they show you love in return. Now, that's a command. Yeah, we can sink our teeth into that command, right? However, there is no such command in Scripture. No caveats, stipulations, no footnotes. The love God demands us to have includes even the enemy. And he doesn't call us to gauge our neighbor first in order to determine whether or not they're worthy of our love. I have to be careful who I point to. It's not what our Lord calls us to exhibit. But it does probably go without saying, loving sinful people is difficult, isn't it? What about that family member who has hurt you so many times? And the pain is tremendous. Pastor, you just don't get it. You just don't understand how bad they have hurt me, and they keep on doing it. Or what about that person with glaring, obvious faults and problems, but they do nothing about them? They're blind to their sin, and you're forced to put up with them. loving sinners is difficult. It's an easy command to understand, extremely hard to do. This difficulty is exposed in the burning light of God who sees even secret sins. And the difficulty we have in loving our neighbor is a reflection of sin, only highlighted by God's vivid command to love your neighbor as Christ loves you. It is important when dealing with people as well as dealing with ourselves that we understand the severity of this sinful condition. Easy it is to see the sins of other people. That's not hard to do. It is, however, harder to see our own sins. Why is that? The reason is the sinful nature is always active. And the sinful flesh puffs us up, telling us that we are better than that sinner over there. Sinful pride elevates us beyond our neighbor, thus highlighting their mistakes while hiding our own. Surprising? Not really. That's what sin does. Sin blinds the eyes. Sin blinds us to our own sin, yet focuses on those sins of our neighbor. This is important. Crucial to understand as a child of God, because the doctrine of sin explains why loving a neighbor is so difficult, yet this is never an excuse to persist in anger and even unforgiveness. The devil made me do it is never an excuse that flies before our God. Understanding sin does help us better understand the sins of our neighbor and even aids us when we help our neighbor in their struggles with sin before God. But let's note this. If loving our neighbor is so difficult because they are filled with sin, but we too struggle with sin as Scripture testifies, what does that say about us, especially as we stand before our holy God? The words of Jesus, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you," reveals the love God has even for sinful creatures. The Father's love towards his Son is perfect, pure. The Father loves his Son who is obedient to do the will of his Father, even if it means dying on a cross for humanity. This relationship within the Holy Trinity between Father and Son is one of bliss, harmony, tranquility, perfect love, and everlasting love that transcends our thinking. In the glorious word of Christ, we hear, "As the Father loves his Son, so the Son loves you." And his love is perfect, pure, unconditional. And the greatest expression of this divine love is Jesus laying down his life for you. He does it out of obedience to his Father. He does it out of love for the world, out of his love for you. Jesus dies for sinners, and that includes you and I. No strings attached. No return payment needed on our part. Christ lays down his life willingly because he is love, and he actively shows that love by dying, even when we, as enemies of God, have done nothing to merit this gift. That's the thing about the crucifixion of Jesus. Our Lord Christ dies for sinners who, by their very sinful, wretched nature, want nothing to do with God and his mercy. Our neighbor doesn't deserve God's love, and neither do we. Yet, Jesus still showers us with the same love shown by the Father to the Son. And in Christ, by faith, we receive this unconditional love that covers sin and imputes to us the very righteousness of God himself. When we struggle to love our neighbor and even pray to God for help with this struggle, confessing that it is there, friends, the good news is, even the sin of our imperfect love is covered by the perfect love of Jesus. A love manifested in his suffering, death, and his resurrection. Our works of love are purified and made clean because of Jesus and his atoning work to save sinners. Abiding in his love means living by faith in his promise that he is the Lamb slain for sin. The sins that horrify us, those sins of struggling to love our neighbor, even our sins that cause us to question, does God really love me? Friends, Jesus' love for you is a love shown by the Father to his only begotten Son. It is a love that is perfect, pure, and everlasting. God's love for you is a love that blots out sin, and he has done it by the shedding of his holy, precious blood in an innocent suffering and death. That is the love that Christ has for you. He died for you and calls you to be loving and kind because as his child, you are one already loved, already forgiven, already an heir to eternal life. Remember this love, the love of Christ, a love showered upon you, a love that is yours by faith, a love no different than the love shown by the Father to his Son. Amen. And may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.